Alrighty, and welcome everybody
to Just Like Gamer Hour. Just like that, baby, just like that.
So, hey, it's so good to see you all today. I hope you're doing A-okay. We've got good news and bad news for tonight. The good news is that Mike's son's hockey team is playing real, real well. And they're, like, progressing through the playoffs. The bad news is that means they're playing on some different nights, a.k.a. tonight. So Mike is with his boy, cheering him on. Hopefully he's going to kick some major tookus tonight. But it means that you're stuck with me and Kakis.
So yeah, Mike's son must have not gotten Entash jeans, because Entash, he's a scrawny little fellow, Entash, and I could probably pick him up with one hand there. So obviously his son is gets his athletic capabilities somewhere else. I was kidding. Entash is going to hear this and be like, I'm Division One hockey. Like,
yeah, he's like, no, hold up. So that means we probably won't have much to talk about in terms of Genshin Impact tonight.
Welcome to a Genshin Impact free podcast. Like, you're right. Welcome. This is the night to tune in.
Yeah, Mike's always like, this topic has nothing to do with Genshin, but I bet I can make it. I bet I can connect it in some way, shape, or form.
He's like, you know what this makes me think of? Anime.
Waifus.
Okay, let's just move on.
I knew where you're going.
Before we get demonetized right there.
Okay. So, we got a lot of topics, actually.
We
going
do have a lot
on.
Of topics.
It's been a pretty, I feel like every week lately, there's just so much happening in the gaming world, which is great for us, because it makes nights like this really, really easy.
Can we start with the Trials of Osiris stuff? I need something light to start. Your first topic is the freaking Dr. Disrespect NFT, like, swamp. I'm just like, bro, I'm not even ready to talk about it. That's like such a controversial topic.
Dude, you want controversial though? You're going straight forward with Trials, because Trials this weekend.
But I'm used to this. This is Destiny controversial.
The Twitter drama was,
bro. If there's not Twitter drama about Destiny, something's up. You know what I mean? So, Trials this weekend. I actually ended up playing it. Funny enough, I got my first take of actual streamer loot. Because I just got unbelievably lucky. I had two Trials engrams, right?
Okay.
I had two Trials engrams, and it was like, obviously the new thing is the scout rifle. That's the brand new thing. So, I'm just, someone told you to turn me up.
I already did it.
Turn me up.
I already did it.
All right. So I had two Trials engrams, right? And the thing I wanted was the scout rifle. So I was like, screw it. First one, decoded it out of, it could literally be anything.
Yeah.
It was the scout rifle. I was like, oh. So then I go and focus the scout rifle with my other engram that I saved from last season. I get the triple tap and fourth times like roll I was looking for. I was like, oh!
But like, no adept mods.
Shut up. All right. It was good enough. I was like, finally. So I did a video on that thing. It's actually pretty insane. I got it with, I was actually lucky enough to get it with a pendant mag as well.
Mm-hmm.
And with 19 rounds, you can shoot over 100 times with like triple tap.
I saw your little Twitter video.
Like going, it's pretty crazy. And then people were like, I'd rather do some real damage with a sniper rifle. And I'm like, well, sniper rifles don't have literally infinite ammo.
Endless ammo. You gotta reload.
Yeah, so, you know, if you can kill a couple of champions with your scout rifle because you can just hold the trigger on it and then you can save that sniper ammo for the boss or whatever, that's pretty good, actually. But I did end up going flawless with Emtash and Mr. Fruit. We had an epic gamer, I did it all on stream. It was super fun. And yeah, overall, I had a fun time with Tash and Fruit. But with that being said, you know, the meta was certainly, like, there's a lot of fusion rifles. And while there was invisible hunters, I didn't find them as bad as people were saying they were.
I was more aggravated by all the turtling. Like, we played a lot of teams that had at least two Titans with overshield barricades up. And then, like, one of the hardest teams we fought all weekend was two Titans with the overshield barricades and then one Warlock who had put down an empowering rift, and they used, like, Ariana's Vows and Wishenders, the bow. And they would just do, like, they'd, like, one-tap you, and but the second you peek something, oh, so aggravating. We hated it, but yeah. But, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say that the team we got our shiz pushed in the most on was actually some dude with a Teraba.
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude! Like, what are they putting in that thing? Like, we were like, you know, it'd be like a 3v1, and he would like activate the perk and just destroy us.
Unleash the beast,
dude!
Baby.
Holy crap! It was actually wild. But we did verse one team that was like the Lumenarch team. The thing is, though, like, sometimes you can kind of like take advantage of people who do stuff like that, because, you know, it was I think it was like two guys with the Lumenarch empowering rifts. So they would set up, put their empowering rift, and I would just yeet over a vortex grenade right on them and it start sucking. And then their entire plan, like, they had to get out of that empowering rift. And then Mr. Fruit just presses the freaking W key like I've never seen. And he was like on them. So they'd like have to back out of their thing, and he was on them. And then their kind of plan would crumble. When you, like, so many people go in with one plan. It's like plan That's A, right. plan B, plan C is I will stand in an empowering rift and I will use my Lumenarch. If you can disrupt that plan, they don't have an alternative.
There are a lot of ways to disrupt that right now too. Like, you've got, I know, like, the new Hunter exotic gauntlets.
So that's what I've been running in Iron Banner, and that's been so,
it's
dude. You're like
nuts. The
you're catching
resistance.
A flake. Like, I'm invincible now, stupid. And you're just like.
Those
Crazy.
Things are nuts. The Osmiomancy gloves for the Warlock. The teams that turtle behind barricades. These cold snap grenades, you throw it in front of the barricade, it'll go up the barricade, down the other side, and freeze them.
Yeah, it's pretty saucy. Crazy. Now, I'm actually a little sneaky. I know Cool Guy did a video on, like, I think he did a video on them, and I'm sure there's other videos on them too. I actually mentioned the Osmiomancies way back. I did a video on, like, some potential day one raid builds, because for PvE, they let you have two
constant
turrets
freezing
up at once.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, insane. So they're saucy. Imagine, like, you literally just put a turret in front of, like, two. You can completely control two spawns.
Yeah, literally with those gauntlets, Shadebinder is better than it ever was last season.
Yeah, I mean, even if you go the turret, like, I've seen people use turrets in PvP, and they can... You get a good turret placement, it's annoying.
Oh, absolutely.
Now you can
You have to turn and you have to shoot it down, but then that gives you an opportunity to push it up.
Yeah.
So that people were, like, absolutely pissed about was the fact that as soon as Trials went active, Xur shows up, and what has he got? He's got a shiny new main ingredient with firmly planted and tap the trigger. It's like,
Dude, Xur has sold actually quite a few goated fusion rifles. Like
the Timeline's Vertex.
And there was the other main ingredient before that with, like, under pressure tap the trigger or something like that. And it's like, okay, where's my God Roll hand cannon? Where's my God Roll auto rifle? Where's my God Roll rocket launcher? Dude, he's handing out fusion rifle God Rolls like it's going out of style.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Like, I feel like everybody overlooks this factor. A lot of people went straight to saying main ingredient is OP. But here's the truth. It's not the best fusion. It's not even the best fusion rifle for PvP in the game. The thing is, all the other fusion rifles, what do you have to do to get them? Like, Zealous Reward is great. What do you have to do to get it? Raid. Plug One is great. What do you got to do? Nightfalls. You know, the new Likely Suspect to get a God Roll on that thing. But the thing is, you got to craft it with the enhanced perks. So, like, the investment level is so high on most of the other great fusion rifles. So when Xur literally hands you a God Roll.
Multiple times.
You take it. You know, you take it.
A lot of people had the old main ingredient God Roll, and then now there's this one for the first weekend of trials. I do agree with that. Like, I have I got wings last night with a friend who, like, is getting back, and he's as casual as you could possibly be, and he's like, oh yeah, like, I saw your video, I picked up that fusion, and he's like, it's really good in Crucible. I'm like, there you go. I'm like, this guy, like, does, you know, he's like beating the second mission in the campaign or whatever, but he still picks up that fusion. So
that's right.
I think that did definitely inflate the numbers. Like, it's just like, imagine if Xur sold a God Roll palindrome. You'd yeah. see that. That would be the top of the list. 100%. Yeah.
Because he's literally, it's basically free loot. The investment is so little. And unless you just started playing the game last week, basically everyone's going to be able to just go there, pick it up, and you're up and running in no time. But the thing is, it was still, even though the main ingredient by itself was responsible for more individual kills than any other single gun, everyone saw main ingredient on top, and they're like, it's broken, it's busted, it's OP, it needs nerfed. But the reality is that, like, if you look at art, like, types of weapon kills, shotguns still had millions of kills more than fusion rifles as a whole. But the thing is, with shotguns, there's, like, 8 really good shotguns, you know? They're all the shotgun kills are divvied up between the Chaperone, the Reckless Endangerment, and the Matador, and the Felwinter's Lie, you know what I mean? And the 7th Seraph CQC. Like, there's just so many shotguns that people have affinities towards. And there's just one fusion that was in, like, the top 20 guns.
I do think, like, you know, shotguns have been nerfed, though, several times in a row. And fusions have been buffed. So I think at this part of the game, you could, I think, make a compelling argument that fusions are a little bit above shotguns in the current meta. And that's, like, they're not that far ahead. But I think they're, it's just kind of like, you're going to, you what you're seeing is you're just seeing a lot of shotgun users being like, I'm going to use this God roll main ingredient, you know, and they do well because it's cracked. And they're like, all right, you know,
what I mean?
Like,
if I'm winning, I'm winning. Yeah.
And I mean, so you just have like a little bit of a meta shift from shotgun users, like just trying out fusions and finding them good.
Yeah. And fusions might end up being the recipients of some nerfs. They might target some of the perks. Maybe they'll target firmly planted down the road or this or that. Who knows? But either way, it's like, okay, whatever. So for 1 weekend, we have fusion rifles being really, really good. Maybe for a short season, fusion rifles are the thing. But it's like, you know, it's okay because shotguns have been the thing. They've had season after season after season after season where they've been unequivocally the best thing out there. So, you know, whatever.
If you were going to make a change, I think the change you would make is just like maybe give shotguns a tiny bit of a, like just a slightly, not undo one of the nerfs, but just like make them a little, you know, they were hit by some pretty impactful nerfs. Just maybe undo that a little bit to give them a little bit more of a punch. And I don't think you need to go after fusion rifles per se. Although, like, fusion rifles are really good, especially, like, after all these changes and, you know, there's some really saucy fusion rifles. I don't know if they need to be nerfed just yet. I don't think it's, like, time to, you know, pull all the alarms.
I don't think it's time to... I would not be ready to say let's buff shotguns again. I think before you did that, like they're still on top. That's the thing. Like they're still consistently outperforming everything in every playlist. Literally every playlist, the most used special weapon is a shotgun. So before I get on the let's buff shotgun train, I'd actually start to rephrase the question and say, well, what can we do to encourage the usage of some other stuff? Like sniper rifles have been hit multiple times.
They just have too much flinch.
And you know, and it's like not no one, but they're not popular. It's like a 7% usage rate, I think, in not usage rate, but total kills are responsible. Sniper rifles are responsible.
You don't see grenade launchers as much GLs anymore since nerf. Yeah.
People hated GLs. They got nerfed into the ground. Like, there's so many things that are under.
GLs were pretty toxic, though.
They were super obnoxious. I'm not going to lie. They were really annoying.
Rifle. Yeah, I can outplay a fusion rifle or a shotgun better than I can a GL. Like, so. We'll see what happens, I think. And a lot of people were mad at the invisibility and Void 3.0, but I think a lot of that is just it's the new hotness. Mm-hmm. And you're already starting to see the tides turn back towards stasis, like we talked about earlier.
And as soon as you get, like, Arc and Solar to 3.0?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like, even if Void's annoying, as soon as next season comes and there's Arc 3.0 or whatever it is, yeah, you're going to see that meta shift pretty dramatically.
Yeah, no doubt. So it is what it is. The good news is it's for Destiny players. The good news is it's not a season that's as long as the previous one. You know, the last one was a slog. It dragged on. It wasn't a bad season. It was just real, real long because
of all the delays. Sick of everything.
So yeah, everything was obnoxious by the end of it. But at least this time it's like, if you hate the where Destiny is right now, even if you hate the meta, it's going to be pretty short lived.
So many good point. Trace rifles. Trace rifles need like the tiniest bit more love, and then before they're competitive, you have a reason to use them, just as like a juiced primary. But we'll see. But I think it's time to move on from there.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Disrespect's game. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So,
what game, by the way? We don't even know what it is. There's no gameplay. They haven't said what kind of game is.
We've talked about on this podcast, we've talked about how, like, Dr. Disrespect, he's making a video game, and this guy isn't just a Twitch star. He used to be
a game dev,
a map designer for Sledgehammer, and he made a lot of the fan favorite maps in Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. So, like, this guy is literally a game dev. Yeah, right? So, he's making his own game, and a lot of people, including us, were like, dude, like, this guy, not only is he a game dev, he's so plugged into the community, like, he knows...
He knows what players want, yeah.
He knows what players want, and, you know, and I think it's interesting, or we said he's likely knows what players want, yeah. And, you know, it is interesting. You do see a lot of game devs. I think there are out-of-touch game devs. Now, that's not to say all of them are, but it certainly is, like, you get in your game dev bubble, and I feel like, and we've seen this multiple times, right, where certain game devs will kind of be like, well, we know what's better for the community than the community themselves. Like, the community doesn't know what they want. We know what they want. And it ends up not being the case. Right?
Right.
And wrong moves are made. And so it's interesting that you have someone coming from a purely community standpoint with Dr. Disrespect. Again, he's plugged into his own community so much. He hears their complaints. He hears what they want. Making a game. But then we finally get some information on this game, and it is based around everyone's favorite three-letter syllable, NFTs.
Yep.
So... like you said, TV, we don't, like, even, I don't really even know what's going on here. Like, there isn't much of a game that's been released so far.
There's nothing. They got nothing. They haven't showed anything about the game, but they want you to buy NFTs for it. They're already selling them. They're like, there's going to be a limited amount of them, and you can choose to sell them again, you know? It's like...
Yeah. Yeah. So
what are you doing?
So they're already... So, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, NFT, dude, like, I think what Critical said, he's like, Critical said, like, dude, if I had a choice between, like, you know, posting a video of me slapping my own grandma on Twitter or starting my NFT collection, he's like, Twitter would be more upset about the NFT collection than me slapping my grandma. And I'm like, honestly, dude, Twitter absolutely hates, dude. Twitter absolutely hates NFTs. And so... the fact that this game is really built around it is a bit concerning.
Yeah.
And
I just think people could actually, like, you know, make an argument for NFTs. People could make an argument in support of the NFTs here in this specific situation with Doc's game and how it could improve the game, whatever. My point is that it feels very out of touch. Like, if you're trying to make a good first impression about your game, why would you come out with that first? But it's literally what it's like the hotness that everybody thinks of for negativity, right? It's like everything with NFTs has gone poorly in the game industry so
far.
Like
Troy Baker and like all the...
Like it's backfired for everyone. And the community's already like super jaded towards it. Some of the like biggest influencers out there are mega against NFTs too. So it just feels like a very out of touch move to make, especially without like giving it a lot of context. Like if Doc were to record one of those videos, you know, he does these promo videos all the time in his career that get people hyped up. If it was him in a camera and some fancy editing talking about the NFTs, why it's going to be helpful for the game and trying to like actually persuade people to maybe see it differently, like maybe. But the fact that they're just like, NFTs, baby, here we go. And that's it. Like, man, I don't know about that.
Dude, you're 100% correct. Like, someone's pointing out in chat. He's like, oh, listen. Some of these NFTs are free. And that's fair. And that's awesome. But it's like, dude, if I'm excited for the game, the last thing I want to do is like, okay, I want to play this game. What do we need to do? Step one, create a MetaMask account. Bro, like, I just want to play this game. I don't have to create... an OpenSea account or whatever the frick, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So if you already have that, you're like, sweet. But if you don't, you're like, bro, I don't want to have to like create this like alternate account. Like, let me just play this game. Like, I don't know enough about this space. Like, I don't know what's going on here. And so again, listen, Doc's game could finally be the game that does NFTs right. From what I'm seeing, it does look like, hey, you can participate if you want to. It's going to be all cosmetic. It's just like we're doing skins through NFTs. So you're going to own a skin and it's going to be like your personal skin. And you know, a game like CSGO does a very similar thing. Like you have the weapon skins and there's some skins that are literally one of one or extremely rare, right? And so it's like it's your personal skin. When you unlock a skin, it's yours. You can sell it to someone and people make huge money selling skins to each other. So there's not too much of a difference between that and then having it the NFT version of that. In fact, there's certain advantages to CSGO's system, to NFTs over CSGO's system. You could argue it's more secure, whatever. But our point is just like you said, TV, there's been nothing but debacles and rug pulls and failures and people being upset over NFTs. Like, even if you're the guy that finally does NFTs right, just the announcement is going to get a bunch of negativity around it.
I just wish they would have led with a different move. Because this already, to me, is starting to take credibility away from them right out the gate.
I'm so shocked. It's like, dude, have you not been paying attention to like when Stalker did NFTs, when Troy Baker went, like every NFT tie-in has been absolutely ridiculed. Like, you know, Ubisoft has been roasted. Again, this might be the one game that does NFT rights, but it's just like, dude, take a look around, read the room, right? Read the room and be like, everyone else who's doing this is getting just roasted on Twitter. So this just isn't a play that is super popular right now.
Yeah. So I don't know. I had high hopes for Doc and his game, and it still might be a banger game. That's totally a possibility. But
if the NFTs are super unobtrusive, it's just like, listen, we're just doing the skins via NFTs. If you want to buy skins, you buy the NFT for the skin, you unlock the skin in game. Simple as that, right? The gameplay is super solid. I think you can start to sway people over. But if it's like an NFT-based game and everything is built around unlocking more NFTs and variations to your NFT.
Yeah, and the press release thing said it has an economy that centers around NFTs. So it sounds like it's a pretty central mechanic, like part of the core identity. I don't know. So
yeah, well, if the gameplay is solid, frick, man, I'll get a MetaMask account. You know what I mean? Like, sure, dude.
So yeah, we're not necessarily saying this game's a bust, but just saying I wish they would have led with something else.
Importantly, the important thing is like it is 100% optional. No one's forcing you to buy NFTs. Apparently, you can go, you can play the game, have all the fun you want in the game. You don't have to ever buy an NFT for the game. So we'll really have to see, but it's just kind of like off the start, already a lot of negativity off the start. So risky, risky move.
Absolutely. But in other news, there's another game out there that's doing exceptionally well. Like, outperforming expectation, and expectations were already very high. Let me just take a moment to appreciate the fact that that's a reality right now, because we have had so many disappointments in the past few years where you have high expectations, bad delivery, and a lot of reputation loss for people like CD Projekt Red, you know. Lots of games just flopping, man. And then you get Elden Ring, which is like mega hyped up, and the expectations were really high. And you're just kind of like waiting. You're like, I know it's going to be another disappointment, isn't it? I guess not, man. 12 million copies sold. That's like.
And it's 12 million copies, and it's literally been less than a month, right?
Absolutely insane. Like, and I didn't even see this coming. I figured the game would deliver on its promises, but I did not think that it would be so well received outside of just the Souls community like this.
Same.
Like, I thought it was going to be a pretty niche thing. I thought it would really please its core audience, but it's gone so much beyond that and grown into something so big that they've literally said, look, this might be a franchise, y'all. Like,
at this point, what? How do you not? You know?
Yeah, so From Software has come out and said, like, because of the sales, like, we're really looking into making this a franchise. So Elden Ring 2, you know, it's all but confirmed at this point because, you know, well, you know, it might be called Elden Ring 2. It might be called Elden Ring something or other. We'll have to see. And we'll also have to see if there's going to be, you know, DLC expansions for the original Elden Ring and so on. But listen, you don't come out and sell 12 million copies of the Elden Ring.
And be like, oh, like, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. Let's move on to something else. No, like at this point, like the high ups have got to be like, okay, we have to do
Elden Ring. We'd be crazy not to.
It would be, you know, you have to do Elden Ring 2, or at least like have something, maybe, I mean, the comparison would be like a Destiny, but obviously be very different than Destiny, where you just have like Elden Ring and you just constantly get all of these different expansions for it, have like an evolving world and so on.
Yeah.
Obviously it's not a live service game, but just you have like many expansions for it. But yeah, like, dude, this game has just taken off, blown up. Like, it's wild. 12 million copies in less than a month is crazy.
And I haven't even played it yet. I've watched a lot of gameplay. Obviously, it's everywhere. But I've had my head down in this Witch Queen grind and making content, because, I mean, that's how I pay my bills. So that's kind of where my focus has been. But when things die down, I'll probably, you know, get over to playing some of that. But one of the things that I love is even I cheer for every game, you know, even if it doesn't interest me, even if it's not my thing. Like, there's some people out there who are so petty that if a game doesn't interest them, they're happy when it fails, or they're bitter when it performs well. And I'm in the opposite camp. I'm like, hey man, I'm all for gamers and games succeeding. So this is good for everybody. This is good for the industry. One of the best things about this could potentially be that anytime you have a competitive market, like the gaming industry, lots of these devs out there, anytime you have a competitive market and somebody makes a banger product, it sets expectations for everybody else.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's, and that's hopefully going to have some adverse effect. Hopefully other devs are out there like, we got to raise the bar's been risen. So we have to rise to the occasion and continue to make products that can compete with this stuff. Cause if companies are going to consistently make content like this, we better stop this whole Battlefield crap we got going on right now and actually make a good game.
Yeah, 100%. Well, some people are asking about where Tash is. I just got a text and it says, I'm at my son's hockey game. To respect me by not being there, everyone who is watching should like the video, because he says, there's only 62 likes with 200 people watching. What the heck, guys? This is how I'm never coming back to the podcast if this keeps up. Wow, that's straight from MTash himself, so get on it, gamers. But no, dude, I mean, it's the famous EA quote being like, single-player games are dead, multiplayer games are the only way to go. And then, obviously, Elden Ring has a multiplayer component, but 90% of the people are playing single-player, and it's just popping off, dude. So, EA, right? EA and their bazillion-trillion-dollar investment in Battlefield, the multiplayer, it's all about multiplayer. We don't even have a single-player campaign. Single-player campaigns are freaking dead. That's what we at EA know. And then Elden Ring comes out and sells way more than Battlefield ever could. And Battlefield is like dead. Elden Ring is like 500,000 players.
Meanwhile, over at EA, they're having earnings reports and saying we've made a horrible mistake.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, there you go, right? Like, Elden Ring has come along and said, no, the fantasy genre, the RPG genre, the Souls genre, and especially just single player games, you can play at your own pace. There's still a huge market for that.
Yeah,
it's absolutely. You don't have to have multiplayer. You don't have to have freaking NFTs and microtransactions and live. Another thing is live service games. So many developers think everyone wants a live service game, but they don't. Especially because the people who want a live service game already freaking play a live service game, right? Yeah. They play Destiny 2, or they play World of Warcraft, or they play Final Fantasy, or whatever they play.
They're not looking for another hobby game that's gonna like take all their time.
They're gonna take up their entire life, right? Like, it's like, you know, I can play Destiny 2 or Warframe and not both.
Yeah, that's right.
That type of situation. So Elden Ring, you can hop on for an hour and try to beat one boss and do whatever, right? So I think Elden Ring is kind of like coming and saying, hey, a lot of the stuff that you guys thought wasn't popular is still very popular.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, even talking about EA and mentioning them in kind of along those lines, like we're talking about, like they're over here, like we made a terrible mistake. They canceled their event where they were going to showcase their titles coming up and stuff and new content.
EA Play?
EA Play. They canceled. They're like, they literally said, we don't have anything to show folks right now. We're kind of too busy doing damage control on these other titles that, you know, and
so, I didn't even know that. That's not good.
That news broke. Oh. Was it today or yesterday? I don't remember, but yeah.
Dude, I've been to EA Play multiple times and it's super fun. I actually like EA Play. EA's been in a rough spot because it certainly has its money makers in terms of FIFA and Madden and all the sport. It has like the sports games by a stranglehold and Star Wars games, even though I mean, Squadrons was, like, okay received, and then...
Well, and Apex is pulling in mega money for him, too.
What is?
Apex, as well.
Apex is... Dude, that's, like, their main... Like, so, EA has some main moneymakers, but I think a lot of their projects haven't done well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Anthem, fail. Battlefield, fail. Last Battlefield, fail. Like...
Yeah, Battlefield's like, even like they were finally like, here's a big update that's gonna fix some issues, like, you know, we're gonna have the scoreboard and stuff. And what do you get? Like, yeah, it implemented a scoreboard, but then there's like literally a list of new bugs that people are dealing with in the game.
You couldn't turn left and right for one of them. You like it's that like, was the weirdest crap, dude.
And so like all of the Battlefield content creators, instead of celebrating the changes that came with the update, their very first videos are like, new bugs in Battlefield. So it's like, even when they're trying to win, they're still losing. It's rough, man. But at the end of the day, that's really my hope is that developers like FromSoft will just continue to really just deliver banger products to their audience that reaches new people. Yeah. And it is, I mean, when you really think about it, it's a competitive market. These are now gamers. All these extra gamers that they picked up with these 12 million copies sold are playing this instead of something else, right? They're gamers. They would have been gaming somehow, somewhere with some game right now if it wasn't Elden Ring, but right now it's Elden Ring. So this is a lot of attention being pulled away from other titles right now. So it really does just... It's EA good for everybody.
Just, EA and Activision, those type, you just can't not pay attention to this now. So I think it's like they might have to go back to the drawing board and be like, okay, the live service game that we pump full of microtransactions that flops in 2 months, that model isn't going to work anymore. We're going to actually have to make a good game. So really interesting. But so something else that happened, which is very interesting. So esports was stealing everyone's content. Maybe like, which esports team? Esports.
Just esports.
What do you mean by that? Esports. So there's this like freaking account on Twitter. It's literally like at esports. But it's a bit of a weird one because like, so at esports, they have less followers than me. I have more followers than them.
Right.
By a little bit. So I can officially say I have more followers than esports. All of you. So I'm not exactly sure what this at esports thing is. Again, the Twitter tag is actually like at esports. Like they got an amazing tag.
And verified and they've got their multi-platform.
It's certainly not some kind of like crazy combination. Or sorry, it's certainly not some kind of like overseeing entity. Like it almost be like at NFL or something, right? And you're like, is this the commission or something? But what happened here is I think it's just like it basically seems like some sort of like news website, right?
Right.
And this news website, what they've done is they have a TikTok. And for this TikTok, what they were doing is they were like, they were shamelessly ripping off other people's TikToks. Like Ludwig, huge creator, came out and was called, or one of his editors was calling them out. And then
yeah.
he made a video calling them out. They would literally just, he would upload a TikTok and they would download his TikTok, just take his TikTok, remove his watermark.
Go through the trouble of editing out the watermark, which basically says, I know what I'm doing is wrong.
Put their own stupid watermark or their own like stupid title or whatever it was. And then they would just at the creator in the comment section. So they would just like take everyone's content and repost it and just at, you know, hilarious clip at Ludwig. And it's like, listen, dummy, you can't just like at steal someone's content, remove the watermark, and then just at them, be like, well, we added them. We added them. Which does nothing.
Like, no one's scrolling down to see, you know, that stuff. They're just watching the TikTok and moving on.
Exactly, exactly. So they got called out, and some other stuff got exposed. Like, one of the employees that was doing the, like, editing, he kind of said, he was having a Discord conversation with, like, one of the head people at this esports organization or whatever it was, and he was saying, like, hey, are we allowed to do this? Because, like, they're kind of getting mad, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be doing this if I thought it was okay because we're adding them. And this head up, like, you know, manager, whatever he or she was like, no, it's fine. We're fine. Like, he's like, just forget about Ludwig or something. He's a nobody. Like, first of all, Ludwig's bigger than you. Like, Joe, manager of some of the Twitter account that I have more followers than, you clown. You're a nobody, dude.
That's
like,
right.
And it's like, it's such a stupid thing to say. Obviously, they're not a nobody if you're literally stealing their content.
That's
they're
right.
somebody enough to make
and,
content.
And it's a monetized account, and they're getting,
yes.
and on some of these videos, they're getting over 100,000 views on these TikToks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're literally capitalizing on somebody else's work.
Exactly. And then so they got called out, and then they actually posted like, oh, we're it's like, we're sorry, in a big stupid, like, you know, the image of all the text where they're like, oh, like we're removing all of our TikToks or something. I think basically they deleted all their videos or whatever, because they're kind of realized like, oh crap, this is a storm brewing, like we've been stealing people's content for quite a while. So yeah, pretty wild. And it's just kind of like, this happens all the time, though. Random accounts will just re-upload your stuff all the time. But usually they're so small, it doesn't really make too big of a difference.
But these guys were genuinely making some decent cash.
They're a verified company, right?
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of crazy that they
well,
like, what is going on here? Is this going to be the next Artesian builds over here?
That's
like,
right. Well, and here's the thing that's interesting, and this is where I think you might potentially see some repercussions here because of who got exposed. But apparently, one of the people that helps run this account, run this business, this esports news outlet, is a Twitch employee verified on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And instead of responding to the criticism initially and saying, oh, we hear you, understand, you know, what can we do to make this right? Instead of doing that, their initial response was for this guy, verified Twitch employee, just to block anybody who brought this up. So Ludwig's editor, who brought it up in the first place, just gets a hot block, you know?
Yeah.
Which basically says, we're going to keep doing it, which they did. They literally continued to do it for several months after that, and even went so far as to make job listings for an editor. Like, so that they could do it even more, you know, we need you to, you know, come and work for us and remove watermarks. And
do you have a video? Do you have a screen record button on your iPhone? We have a job for you, buddy.
Boy, you are qualified.
You are so qualified as you can believe. So can you remove watermarks? Do we have a job for you?
So since he got called out in this and is a part of it, and it got so much publicity from this nobody, Ludwig, and has, you know,
nobody,
like 500,000 views on this content, calling them out at this point.
I know.
I think he might be in some trouble. I think he's going to get in trouble. I don't know if he'll get fired, but he'll probably be a part of a conversation at Twitch.
Because, you know, he is a part of a company that's stealing Twitch. Obviously, Ludwig's at YouTube now, but he's part of this company that is ripping off Twitch partner Twitch streamers' content. And this guy works at Twitch. Like, was this guy going and like being like, hey, this partner's making a bunch of content, he'd be great to basically rip off from.
Steal his stuff.
Yeah, so kind of an interesting, you know, story. And it's one of the cases where, you know, there are these big accounts. Someone in the chat made a good point. Like, there's like the, you know, Instagram meme accounts that just completely steals people's, you know, memes from Reddit and so on. And re-uploads them. I think the difference there is, like, if someone, like, makes a meme, and I'm not trying to justify it, but it's like if someone uploads a meme to Reddit, that probably, you know, didn't take them, they're not getting paid for it. Whereas, like,
some not monetized, if you're making content.
You need to pay an editor to, like, upload this content. Well, even then, like, I'm trying to, like, justify it. It is kind of the same thing.
It is like, to
a
degree,
if you make a meme, it is a lot harder to track down, like, who made something, right? Like, someone who posted to Reddit, they might have got it from somewhere else, and that actually happens quite a bit. And so it's really kind of sometimes hard to trace down the origins of a meme. But in this case, there was no question, right? Yeah. There's no who posted this on, you know, Ludwig or Tim the Tapman's official TikTok account, sorry.
Yeah.
They would post an edit, and they would just steal it and take out the watermark. It's like, brother.
And Ludwig, like, he made a pretty good point, too. Like, he was talking about, he said, it's not, he doesn't necessarily have anything against people who want to use clips from streams to make their own edits for funny content and stuff. He's so, like, listen, people do it. They do it all the time. He's like, I've even done it for some of my older videos.
Use his raw footage from a stream. That's right. So you make your own fan edit.
You download the clips and you make your own fan edit, and that's fine, because really, like, legally, you can do that, right?
Yeah.
But he's like, but the fact is that they didn't do that. They had somebody else do all of that work. And then basically admitted guilt by removing a watermark. It basically says, I know that's someone else's. I'm going to go through the effort of removing the evidence that it's someone else's. And then I'm going to upload it as original content. He's like, and that's the problem. If you want to make a similar edit, you know, you see one of my TikToks and an editor post, and you think, hey, that's pretty funny. Let's go get the raw footage and make our own edit. It's like, it's kind of scummy because you're copying someone's homework, but you're not literally stealing it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
So I totally see where he's coming from there. But anyways, I don't know what the fallout of that is going to be. Maybe the accounts. I think someone in chat said they may have already even shut down their accounts. I don't know. But last I had seen before we went live,
they're still on Twitter.
They were still on Twitter, at least. Yeah.
I don't think their apology is, like, going very well. Like, okay, well, here's how you know it's not going. I just clicked their apology. You ready for this, TV?
Yeah, hit me with it.
42 retweets, 255 quote tweets.
There you go.
So anytime, here's a little hot tip for you guys in content creation. Anytime you see significantly more quote tweets than retweets, it's not going well. Because when people quote tweet something, they're probably not saying, good for you. They're probably roasting you.
That's right.
So it's probably not going very well. Yeah. So quote tweets. No, you're not. Pay them all the money you made from this. This is pathetic and shameless. Shameless, pathetic. Compensate and remove it. Shut up. They're sorry for stealing. They're sorry for stealing other people's content for 4 months. He's a nobody. 1 hour later, we're sorry. Oh, God.
That's too funny.
If I rob a bank, am I sharing the bank's money with myself? Oh, my God, bro. These are too good. They're getting beat up in the quote tweets. It's not going very well. That's
free entertainment there, chat.
Yeah, exactly. Holy crap.
So, anyways. But in other words, in other news, we have some great titles on the horizon.
Yeah.
We, I think it's, what, like a week and a half We're like a week and a half from Tiny Tina's Wonderlands? Or is it 2 weeks? Something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands launches the 25th.
25th, okay. So we're getting pretty close there. So if you're a Borderlands fan, you want to dive into that, you're getting hyped about that, there's an option for you. On top of that, Hogwarts is going to get some attention here pretty soon. What's the date? Do you know on the showcase for that?
I don't know the actual date for Hogwarts, but there is going to be a PlayStation showcase tomorrow, Thursday.
Tomorrow. That's what I was asking. When the
all
showcase.
About the new Hogwarts game. The new Hogwarts, what's it called? Hogwarts?
If you're a Harry
Legacy
Potter
Legacy or fan. Legends, Hogwarts, whatever it's called. The game looks sweet, too. And they're kind of going all in, so maybe, like, you know, it's actually, like, a good Harry Potter Hogwarts game. They seem to be putting a lot of resources into it, which is pretty interesting. Starfield got some little teases. They released like 8 seconds of gameplay from Starfield. The graphics look absolutely incredible.
Uh-huh.
But it's obviously like 8 seconds. How many times did you pre-render this on? What is those PC specs
yeah,
to get
specs?
These 8 seconds? Yeah, you know what I mean? And Todd Howard's talking in the background. It's like, listen, brother, the last time I heard Todd Howard talk was with Fallout 76. So you're going to... Pump the brakes a little bit, Todd. Legacy, so Hogwarts Legacy. So there is some saucy and very big games coming in the near future.
Yeah, and they've been talking about the scope and the scale of Starfield, which has me pretty excited. You know, I've been playing a ton of No Man's Sky in the past several months, and I really got this itch for the exploration games, and I'm really pretty pumped about this one. And one of the things that they talked about as well was that they took some systems that were working in older titles and updated them. For example, the dialogue and persuasion system that was part of the Oblivion, Elder Scrolls Oblivion game, they updated and made it fully functional as an integral part of Starfield. So that's pretty cool. In my opinion, I think Oblivion is one of the best games that Bethesda's ever put out.
Oh, 100%.
That game was a banger. So I'm all for companies that have found things that work in previous titles, implementing them and perfecting them. That's great. So I'm pretty jazzed about that one, no doubt, but we have to wait till November. I'm pretty sure it's November release. Yeah, so we got some time. I'm excited
when they actually
show some good, like,
yeah,
here's some gameplay, you know what I mean? Not just 8 seconds of a companion that we're going to be able to walk around with. So we'll see.
It's hard to say, like, it's really hard to say, like, anything too much about Starfield, because it's like, it's been a lot of like up in the air. It's like, here's some concept art. And you're like,
yeah,
okay, here's 8 seconds of gameplay. You're like, okay, but like, I want to see like I want to see a proper gameplay trailer. Like, give me something like tangible, because
yeah,
it's still very, very like in the ether right now. I think I need something like an actual trailer.
Even if it's just like a character walking in third person and it kind of pans up, show us the skybox and the kinds of environments we might encounter. That would be great. Or even like one of the like concept art pieces that that continuously get shared and used in thumbnails for clickbait and all this stuff is this like a city in like a bubble over the water, and it looks really cool, like the super sci-fi-esque kind of a shot. And it's like, show us what that looks like in the game. Like, what did that translate to in game? Even if it's just a screenshot, in-game screenshot of what that city might look like in the game, that would be pretty cool,
right? Like, it's all concept art right now,
so we need something tangible.
I want to see a character like walk through looking at those images.
Mm-hmm. I saw a tweet today that was getting a lot of traction where someone was like, if an Xbox fan saw promo material for a PlayStation exclusive that was this close to launch and this hype of a title, and it didn't have any gameplay really yet, they would be upset about it. They'd be like, oh man, so they'd be dogging on it. They'd be like, oh, Sony doesn't have anything to show, you guys should be worried. And he was like, I'm an Xbox guy, that's what we would be doing, so
we should be doing the same thing with Starfield. We're now at the point where we might actually have to start being critical about it and say, it's time you guys show us something if you want us to be hype about this title. So, I don't know.
I agree. Especially if it's supposed to be coming out this year, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we haven't gone through the main event. Let's see what June brings. Because with June, like, that's E3. I mean, we're supposed to see Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, the remake, and we haven't seen anything on that this year, too. So I guess it's kind of, they're right on track to start releasing all the big gameplay stuff maybe during that June time frame for E3 and so on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But that's basically it for the week in terms of the news. So if you guys have any questions you want to ask us, what games we're going to be playing, what we've been doing in Destiny, anything is fair game, as long as it doesn't pertain to MTash, because he can't answer your questions, because he, for some reason, decided that his son's hockey game was more important than you guys tonight. And I don't know, it's not my position to tell him what's right and wrong, but I think I would have chosen you guys over Mike's son. If I had the choice between going to Mike's son's game or being here, I'd have chose to be here.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, dude.
But Sam, hey, thank you so much for becoming a member. Appreciate you. Sorry that we are 2/3 of a cast tonight, but we have genuinely enjoyed our time with you tonight, just the two of us. So hopefully we were at least informative and entertaining enough to justify you guys coming back again next week. What's the drink of the week? That's a really good question. Actually, so here's the thing. So for drink of the week, my wife got me a subscription to a service called Shaker and Spoon, where they send you all kinds of ingredients and recipes for drinks. You just have to go get the booze. And so this month's drinks and recipes are all cognac recipes. And I haven't done a lot of mixing with cognac. So this week I've been doing lots of mixing with cognac and trying some recipes I've never done before. They've been pretty fun. I even did some infusion. I've never done infusion before, but I infused cognac with dates and stuff. It's really, really cool. So yeah, he's literally Canadian. Hockey is their religion. More true than false. More true than false. Family is important.
Yeah, you know what? I think the real problem is, why is MTash's son choosing to play hockey when it's RGH today?
That's right.
Yes, we are on Spotify and Apple Play and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we are there. Are we going to ignore the fact that MTash quit Destiny 2 again? He just played Trials this weekend.
Yep. He's...
Just because he's making content on it doesn't mean he's not playing the game. He is actually playing the game.
I think he's saying, I haven't quit per se, but I'm just playing it for fun now. Like, I don't need to make content. I don't need to force myself to do, exotic reviews or whatever. So he's just making content at his own pace. But at the same time, I think for all the changes the Witch Queen brought, there's still a lot of the same slog and the same Destiny grind. And I was bringing this up really early. It's okay, we have all this new stuff. It's great. Why is everything capped in terms of resources? And there's all these silly mechanics that aren't as fun. Just let us have fun with the game.
I'm still enjoying it. I got lots of stuff I'm still working on. Right now, my biggest goals are really my raid frames. I want to get I need one more Insidious, then I'll be able to craft that. And I need two more of the SMGs, so.
Yep. And someone else asked about, am I going to play Wonderlands? I'm going to play it. I don't know if I'm going to cover it. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it when it actually comes out. That's when I'm going to play it.
I'll be doing, I'm going to try to get a review that'll go live the second the game launches and the embargo's up. Just to offer my thoughts as a huge fan of the Borderlands series, and I know that you've got your roots in Borderlands as well too, mm-hmm. Kakis, but I'm a big fan of the series, and I'm going to try it out and speak to it and let folks know what I think about it as a Borderlands fan, if it would interest you, if it's a good game, if it lives up to the hype, all that kind of stuff, give my impressions. So that's my plan.
They need to disable Ariane's vow in Gambit till they fix it. Oh, is it like one-shotting everybody?
Oh, is it still like... busted?
Well, I know... In Gambit? I didn't hear about this because no one plays Gambit, dude. They ruined Gambit. Like, no one... I haven't played at, like, any Gambit, and I'm not going to. It's so I don't. Unfun. You can't...
A pinnacle drop doesn't convince me it's to play Gambit. I literally am like, nah, I'm good, man.
Yeah, no. So I know that you could get, like, a Hawkmoon times one. Like, you could get one headshot. And then if you're on, like, the last round, you could one-shot invaders and stuff, so...
Yeah. Got any time to dive into Horizon Forbidden West, Recall TV, and join Zero Dawn? Yeah, I've actually got about 40 hours into Forbidden West so far. I had to put it down and sideline it for a moment, because Witch Queen and the grind. But things are starting to slow down with the Witch Queen, so I'm really excited to dive back into it. I took that game real slow. Like, I haven't even gotten into the furthest west portion of the map yet. I'm not even there, because I've just been doing all the side quests and exploring all the things on my HUD. So I love that game. That game is a banger. Honestly, forgot Gambit existed. Yeah, so there was actually some conversation on Twitter in the Destiny community this week where Gambit fans were kind of getting offended. They're like, you guys got to stop with all these, like, just cut Gambit out tweets. Just kill Gambit. Like, some of us are really into Gambit. That's our thing. That's why we keep coming back to Destiny. And it's like, I totally respect that. Gambit, I do. I totally respect that. Last season
was fun. Like, it was actually not that bad.
But my only thing is, I was kind of salty because I love Deathbringer. That is my favorite heavy weapon in the game. And I use it. It's my main weapon in PvP in my heavy slot because I use a lot of legendary guns. So my gun got nerfed because of Gambit, because they decided to give everybody heavy weapons, and then people were complaining about rocket ammo, because people are just shocking. It's basically just all Yallerhorn on Yallerhorn. And so instead of saying, well, we'll nerf the tracking on Yallerhorn because of the frustrations it's causing in Gambit, they're like, we nerfed the tracking on all exotic rocket launchers. And here's Deathbringer over there minding its own freaking business. Like, what the heck, man?
What did I do?
And so now, and you can tell, by the way, in PvP, you can tell. I'm still using it because I love the thing, but it does not track as aggressively in PvP because they nerfed the tracking to Guardians. And I'm a little salty about it. Because it wasn't a problem.
No, it wasn't a problem. It wasn't even a problem in Gambit. I was never like, oh no, this Deathbringer guy. Like, that's right. I don't think I even remember getting killed by a Deathbringer. But I think their worry was like, okay, we nerf Gjallarhorn and then everyone switches to Deathbringer. Just switch to the next tracking rocket. Dude, like I said, previous season Gambit, I grinded a decent amount of Gambit. It really wasn't even that bad because it was quick. It was like, hey, I need a bunch of loot for something, or it was like you could pound out rounds of Gambit fast, right? You get to the invasion, you melt the primeval, it's done. Round over. You get a ton of loot from it. Like, it was actually pretty efficient in getting loot. But now everything's changed. Everything is less efficient. Everything takes longer. And it's just, like, not as fun. It's just nowhere near as fun, and just having the primeval heal and having to go through so many immune phases is just a slog.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I haven't been back in since week one. I jumped in week one just to see how the changes felt and to get my pinnacle, and then after week one of Witch Queen, I haven't gone back.
Yeah. It's like people want to get their loot and get in and get out, right? I keep joking where every time Bungie adds a strike, it's like the longest strike in the game. Like, because they keep trying to do these elaborate strikes. But what's the strike everyone loves when it's in the rotation?
Lake of Shadows.
Freaking Lake of Shadows, right? They want to get in and out and get their loot, right? And so it's like, I think Bungie's going to have to maybe realize that a bit more. And not to say, like, make everything super quick, but certainly it feels like, again, I don't want to have my playtime farmed. And that's how it somewhat feels like. Why is Gambit twice as long as it was before? Like, let it be the quick and dirty thing where you're in, you're out, melt your primeval. Can you coordinate as a team to get the melt, get a good invasion? It's all it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because before you used to win fast or importantly, lose fast, right? And so if you were getting stomped, you'd only have to endure the stomping for a few minutes and it was over. Now you've got to sit there through God knows how many immune phases with no ammo because you already lost it all trying to stop the invader. And it's just, you're just miserable. And you're miserable for 8 minutes now instead of, you know, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was just a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it was a miss to me. And I've actually seen some people say they really love the changes to Gambit. And I'm like, I don't understand how.
Oh, like people who like actually want to have a Gambit esports tournament, like, because it's certainly more like intense now. You really have to coordinate more if you want to win. But it was supposed, I liked it as like a fun party game mode. I didn't want to have to do this crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Why not have Gambit as an event-based activity like Iron Banner? Maybe. I don't know. Like, Gambit had so much potential. I think if they just removed the immunity phases, it would be, like, significantly better.
Well, what do you think, Kagus? About do it for the night?
I think that's pretty much... I just want to look if there's any more quick activities here. Yeah, it's like someone's like, I was unironically going for top 500 last season because Gambit was so fun. Now I won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Yeah. Like, it is shocking that... And it's kind of scary that, like, the people in charge of Gambit basically made every community annoyance worse, right? Like, we don't want devastating invades. Now it's more devastating than ever when your Primeval's almost dead and then you invade and then there's two more immunity phases after that. I'm like... You gotta be kidding me!
That's right.
And then heavy is just way worse, since I don't know.
Well, either way,
I think that's pretty much it.
We appreciate y'all.
Well, hold. Someone actually, can I say one more thing? I will say one interesting last little bit before we go
for it.
Someone did say, "Did you do the weekly quest today or this week, TV?"
I did. Up to the point where you have to get your 500 intel. So I did like the new mission. I saw the first interaction with Crow and I know what he did, but I have not done the intel part yet.
Okay, well, I'm giving a bit of a spoiler. Well, I can't then. It's too much of a spoiler then.
Well, I'm pretty sure I've had it spoiled because my prediction was, man, Kyle's going to be like life for a life at this point because this was her friend. And then I saw a thumbnail for a YouTube video that literally said it had a picture of Keitel and it said a life for a life. So I'm like, well, I feel like I know where this is going.
Well, Lord, spoiler alert, if you haven't done it, click away now. But Lord Saladin basically is now on Keitel's war council and has a little bit of a, it speaks to you and says, I said you'd have to kill me to keep me from going to Iron Banner. And Keitel was actually like, not only am I okay with you doing Iron Banner, I've got my own ideas for Iron Banner. So she actually said that. And someone brought it up in the chat. And I think what that's setting up is the next season, season 17, Bungie has confirmed that there's going to be some significant Iron Banner changes. That finally the Iron Banner vendor, similar to the Trials vendor, is changing. You're gonna have proper rank ups, you're gonna have, like, you know, focus engrams. Not that they've confirmed that all those things are transferring over one to one, but, you know, the days of spamming Iron Banner tokens over and over again are hopefully going away. So I think that's pretty interesting that it's like, hey, Keitel is now doing Iron Banner, we have some crazy new Iron Banner stuff, so we could finally see Iron Banner get, you know, the attention it finally deserves next season. Because it's really interesting when you think about, like, Iron Banner is one of the really, like, the last vestiges of the original vanilla Destiny system of just tokens and then turning the tokens to get the loot. Everything else has pretty much changed at this point. So, like, finally, it's time for Iron Banner.
All right. You gonna let me kill this podcast now or what?
I'm gonna let you finally stop and say hi to your family or whatever. Okay.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in this week. We do appreciate you. We should be back to the full cast next week. Not just a shell of ourselves as we were tonight, but we had a good time with it. Thanks for letting us hang out with you and talk gaming with you. We appreciate it. Anything to add?
No, I was just going to say thank you guys for tuning in. I'm Kakas HD.
I'm True Vanguard, and we'll see you at 9 p.m. Eastern Time next Wednesday. Be warm and well-fed, my friends. Bye-bye.